This is New Hampshire Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Rick Ganley. Joining us now is NPR's and HPR's Josh Rogers. On Monday mornings, he joins us often to talk about developments on the political front. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Rick.
So the implications of Sean Jasper's win over Bill O'Brien in House Speaker elections last week continue to emerge, don't they?
They do, Rick, and we're also beginning to learn a little bit more about what we might expect from House Speaker Sean Jasper. He pitched himself to colleagues last week as a leader who would abide by the traditions of the House, something of an institutionalist, and as a speaker who would let policies flow up from the committee rooms and not down from the speaker's office. Sean Jasper is going to be announcing committee leaders this week. Last Friday, he named Jack Flanagan a Brookline majority leader, which was kind of an interesting pick.
Why do you say that?
Well, Jack Flanagan could be seen as a guy selected to straddle what you could call the current House schism. Unlike most in Speaker Jasper's inner circle, Jack Flanagan's pretty new to the State House. He's entering his third term, also did some time as a selectman in Brookline. He arrived in 2010. That's the class, of course, that elected Bill O'Brien Speaker. And Flanagan enjoys better relations, at least he has historically, with that cohort within the Republican caucus. Another move that may still the waters for Jasper was, or at least aims to, was naming Gene Chandler deputy speaker. Chandler's, of course, a former speaker himself who, as you will recall, was narrowly edged out only by 4 votes by Bill O'Brien when the GOP voted on speaker nominations last month. Gene Chandler made it clear at that point that he wasn't going to try to disrupt Bill O'Brien's election to speaker, and O'Brien rolled out him as a speaker pro tem prior to the election, something that many people, including me, thought that might have sealed it for O'Brien. But obviously we know what happened last week, and Gene Chandler is now with Jasper. He's served in Concord since 1982 and is broadly respected in the caucus, so that may calm things down as well.
Yeah. Now, but if you look at the social media postings by House members after Jasper's win, yeah, some of them were they were out there. I mean, there was talk of rebellion, calls for Jasper to resign, people questioning the legitimacy of the win. I mean, it was pretty
far
out.
This is the New Hampshire House, Rick. So, you know, people will let you know what they think.
Yeah.
And some do think, given that Sean Jasper was elected with more Democratic than Republican support, although we don't absolutely know because it was secret ballot, but certainly that's, you know, the way it looks, that Sean Jasper shouldn't be allowed to pick the House's majority leader. Bill O'Brien and other Republicans have called a meeting for early this week for the Republican caucus to elect a majority leader. If this happens, you can be sure they won't be picking Jack Flanagan. So before we're through, we may see dueling majority leaders, which would be new.
Yeah.
And to be clear, a House president does give speakers the powers to name leaders, both majority and minority. Last week, some Bill O'Brien lawyers were predicting Sean Jasper would struggle finding enough Republicans to lead every committee, which was something he promised to do. I suspect Jasper will pull it off without too much of a problem, though.
Okay. Now, beyond the fact that Jasper won the speakership with the help of Democrats, is there much merit to the claims we've been hearing from some Republicans that Jasper's GOP credentials are dubious?
I guess it depends on how much of a purist you want to be. Sean Jasper has been elected 11 terms non-consecutively out of Hudson, which isn't a place that sends liberals, even liberal Republicans, to Concord. There are some things, though, that Jasper's critics on the right point to. Votes against a few bills that aim to loosen state gun policies. Jasper's opposition to a stringent voter ID proposal backed by Bill O'Brien in 2011 and support for more campaign finance disclosure by political groups. It's also true that through the year, Sean Jasper has voted to against same-sex marriage, for instance, against raising the minimum wage, against banning smoking in restaurants, against repealing the death penalty, and against casinos, on another note. And before Sean Jasper won election as speaker, he actually put in a bill that would seek to undo the law that will ban handheld cell phone use behind the wheel. So, you know, his record is pretty conservative with a quirk or two.
Right. Now speaking of quirks, one thing about Jasper's election is that since he wasn't the GOP caucus's pick for speaker, he's apparently going to be denied a seat on the state Republican Party's executive committee.
Yes, and that GOP party bylaw was passed in 2004 as a result of another somewhat similar speaker's election that took place then. As you may recall, Doug Scammon won the gavel with Democratic support. The Republican caucus had supported Mike Wally that year. People were a little angry that time, but judging by the early reaction, they're angrier now. Part of that is due to the different makeup of the House and different personalities. You know, we'll see how that fades when the House starts getting to work. And, you know, if it doesn't fade, the session days could be very long, and Speaker Jasper is going to need to be on his toes with parliamentary procedure.
Yeah, well, whatever we're talking about, it's going to be a very interesting session.
I hope so, Rick.
Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome.
That's Josh Rogers, NHPR's senior political reporter. He joins Morning Edition often to talk politics on the political front. You can follow Josh, by the way, on Twitter at Josh Rogers, NHPR.